we have coaches from pretty much every facet of the fitness industry and the healthcare industry. So we have doctors of physical therapy, we have chiropractors, we have bodybuilders, kettlebell specialists. So each one of them views movement from a slightly different perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect, and that's what we want, because we want them to understand how to apply the stick and the principles into how they view movement. So we don't want to be very limited in our perspective of how we move. We live in a world of 360 degrees. Movement needs to be as expansive as we can possibly have it, with the right amount of control.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out this throwback edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. I'm kind of surprised we haven't played this one before, because as far as interview podcasts go, this is one of my favorites. Today we are going to go back in the ATF vault and replay my interview with the Stick Mobility co-founder, Dennis Dunphy.
Yeah, this has been quite a while ago.
June of 2018, to be exact.
God, it's like another world.
Yeah, we're coming up almost 3 years ago.
That's pre-pandemic.
I know.
It's basically a different lifetime.
Right. Ella was a little tiny baby when that happened. I remember, because I came home, and apparently a funny story about that. I don't think we get into it in this episode, but Ella had brought home the norovirus to us.
Oh my gosh,
and
that
I got
weekend.
Hit with the norovirus the day, basically after my first day of the certification class. So I came home after a long day of working out and learning the Stick Mobility program and puked my guts out. And, you know,
then I got sick.
Yeah,
and then
went
you
to
had
bed.
To go back to training.
Exactly right. Had to take the second day as a basically a drained mess. And that's actually when I did the interview with Dennis. So if I sound a little lacking of energy, yes, that's the reason. But luckily, Dennis carried it and gave a lot of great information. And this is really a lot of stuff that Dennis talks about. This is kind of guided me through where kind of to the point where I am in my personal training career right now, you know, still using Stick Mobility. In fact, you know, I've talked about in the last couple of weeks with you guys, the Tampa Strength app has launched, and the Stick Mobility training program, it's actually called the Ultimate Golf Fitness Stick Training Program, is going to be the first program released on that app. And hopefully by the time you guys hear this, it will be available, and that is you can download that in the Google Play Store or in the Apple App Store.
That's awesome.
So, and you guys should check that out.
Come a long way since 2018.
I know. Exactly right. So it's definitely something that this is an episode that's near and dear to my heart. So without further ado, please enjoy this throwback episode of our interview with the co-founder of Stick Mobility, Dennis Dunphy.
Welcome to a special on-location episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are at the Movement Sanctuary in St. Petersburg, Florida, and you guys know I've been talking about it on the podcast a ton, Stick Mobility. I'm actually attending the seminar as we speak, and you know, I mentioned on the podcast before, guys, that I don't feel like I do it justice when I describe what Stick Mobility actually is, the training style, and everything that's involved in it. Well, luckily for me, I have one of the founders of Stick Mobility, Dennis Dunphy, with me today. How you doing, Dennis?
Good, Nick. How are you doing?
Awesome. I really appreciate you joining me, and it's day two of the class right now, and it's very intense, and I'm learning a ton. But first, before we get into more details about Stick Mobility and everything it includes, I want to hear more about yourself and how you kind of started your exercise journey in fitness, or journey in the fitness.
In the fitness. I've always been very active ever since I was a child. So 4 or 5 years of age, started playing hockey. That was my first passion, always has been, always will be. But soccer, football, I mean, pretty much everything. My dad was very sports driven. Mm-hmm. So there really wasn't a sport that I didn't play, or at least try.
Right.
So during the summers, dragging me out in the heat playing tennis. And as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid, you're like, this is miserable. I do not want to be doing this. But then I've always been active, always enjoyed fitness. And then I moved out to, so I grew up in Buffalo, New York. I moved out to San Jose, California back in 97. And that's when I first started in the fitness industry. I was like, you know what? I love working out. I might as well just get paid for it, right? Mm-hmm. So that, I think a lot of trainers, that's their mentality of getting into it, right? Mm-hmm. So did the old box gym 24-hour fitness routine. Realized that was not my thing right away. And then I caught a lucky break. An acquaintance of mine, she knew someone that owned a private training studio. He brought me on board, helped mentor me, not only from a coaching standpoint, but from a business standpoint also, on how to run a business in the fitness industry. So I was really fortunate for that also. Mm-hmm. So my original training system was very meatheadish, you know, like typical beat everybody down type of thing. And then through personal journeys, since I was in my mid-20s, late-20s, you know, you're pretty invincible. You're able to do everything, right?
Yes.
So as I got older and things started not to work as well and injuries happened, you get that epiphany of, well, maybe things need to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And so no matter what you're trying to do in the skill set or whatever skills you're trying to accomplish and achieve, mobility is at the key of all of those. And it took me a while for me to finally get that through to in my own mindset, and it finally happened. So my training since then has been much more different than when I started almost 20 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
So so obviously you hit on the point of mobility and how important it is to all forms of training. When did the kind of the concept of introducing the stick into mobility practice start, and how did that come about?
A little over 4 years ago, Mitch Taylor, myself, and Neil Valera, we went to go see a doctor, Arthur Fagenholtz, over in Santa Cruz, California, and he's a chiropractor who was teaching stick yoga with rattan sticks, and it was interesting. After the first hour. The three of us looked at each other and went, holy crap, this is crazy. Like, this is insane. And he was teaching some joint mobs, a lot of stretching with the stick, but there was no system to it. And the strength training component of it wasn't there. Hmm. And we knew, there is so much he's missing out on. So we became friends, and we talked to him, and he said, hey, develop your own stuff. Do what you guys do. I'm a chiropractor. You guys are strength coaches, movement coaches. You guys see things from a different point of view, and that's how we started developing stick mobility. So we bring a lot more strength training protocol, as you've experienced
right
this weekend, into mobility work. Mm-hmm. Because we view mobility as you have to be strong in all positions you get to. So that's where we use the stick to help incorporate that.
It's interesting you at how that was kind of the beginning was at a stick yoga class, because I talk about it with my wife on the podcast a lot. And she said I bet it was derived from some sort of yoga also, because she said she can see a lot of similarities in a lot of movements I've done on the stick and we see on your guys' Instagram at Stick Mobility, that there's a lot of similarities between that and yoga. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as you mentioned, the concept of you guys kind of developed the strength training aspect. Now I know I'm in this middle of the seminar right now, there's kind of three different phases, I guess you would call, of your training with the stick, including strength?
Yes, so our system is broken down into joint-by-joint mobilizations is the first phase. The second phase is strengthening protocols, mm-hmm. and then the third phase is our deep fascial stretching.
Right, and I know there's the thing that, I mean, it's throughout that, but one of the things is the law of irradiation. Is that I'm pronouncing that
Sherrington's
right?
Law of irradiation.
Yeah, and that's something that I think is huge, and I really discovered that now, and that's what's really the key thing I've taken a lot away, but this weekend, that's one of the things I learned that's really going to, I know, amp up all the training I give to my clients with the stick, and I'd love for you to explain that a little bit more.
So Sherrington's Law of Irradiation, all it says is we're trying to recruit as many neighboring muscle fibers to be as strong as we possibly can be. So it's what percentage of irradiation are we talking about? Do we want just a little bit of extra recruitment at a low percentage of irradiation in that 15 to 20% zone? Or we can go full board, all one rep max, where we're trying to get just every ounce of force that we can possibly generate from every tissue in the body.
Right.
So we can increase those ranges all the way up to 100% max.
Right. And then the concept of that is, how does somebody create that tension? I know obviously there's different forms, but what if somebody obviously, I know this is all audio, so it's hard to kind of describe it verbally, but how would somebody do that to create like that increasing amount of tension?
So when you get up in the morning and you yawn and you stretch, next time you do that, pay attention to what you're actually feeling when you do that. That's irradiation. Mm-hmm. You're recruiting those muscle fibers. That's the reason why you're getting into a position that you normally otherwise wouldn't get into in that process. Your dog and your cat do the same thing when they wake up. When they get up from laying down, they also irradiate their tissues. Mm-hmm. So that is, for a lot of people, they don't know how to generate that organically on their own. So we use the stick as a tool to give them that feedback. So that way when we have them push or pull on the stick, then that activates the tissues that we're looking to recruit force out of. And then intrinsically they finally feel that. It's that kinesthetic feedback. And then that way when you say, hey, irradiate your glutes, and then they'll be like, oh, I know what he's actually talking about now. Whereas before, you might as well, for a lot of people, you might as well just be talking Latin to them because they don't understand what you're asking for.
Now, and there's one particular exercise. Well, not I wouldn't say one because now I'm still learning. I'm building my exercise library. But one exercise named after you, the Dumphy Squat, which not only causes that irradiation, but another part of stick mobility training is the kind of the neuromuscular connection.
Yes.
And I know obviously it's squat, people understand that, but could you verbally describe the Dumphy Squat?
So with the squat, all you're doing is you're taking a stick and you're pushing it up into an anchor point above you. So when you take the stick and you set up for your traditional squat, you're taking the stick and you're pushing it up into the anchor point situated above you. That is then, and therefore is going to bring you proximal stability, right? So we know that with proximal stability, you get distal mobility, right? So when you're squatting, a lot of people don't have that proximal stability. Therefore, the body feels unstable. It's not going to give you the motion that you're looking for, except through the joints that it feels stable in, right? Mm-hmm. So with that stick being there, it allows you to lock everything down, recruit all those muscle fibers, and you'll find that people will instantaneously drop down into a much better squat than they've accomplished since childhood, to be honest with you.
Now, and there's something to ask, but in this, sometimes it turns a person on so much that almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
Is that true? Now, is that a part of maybe people getting introduced to the aspect of neuromuscular control?
Yes. It's some people in their workout protocols have never experienced that much neural overload. Mm-hmm. And it can be a lot of neural overload. So that's why we start relatively light, low percentage of irradiation, just to give them that feel, and then they can slowly build up.
Right.
But if I'm teaching somebody the Dunphy squat, I'm not asking them to go 90, 100% pushing that stick up into that anchor point. I want them to push it that 50, 60% range and then get comfortable just with the whole experience.
Right.
But yeah, we've had some people, they've done 4 or 5 reps and then they get up and they're like, I kind of feel like I got to go to the bathroom and I'll see you in just a second, right?
Yeah, in that aspect, especially with the core, and we learned it here, and somebody that I'm sure I'd mentioned on the podcast, but Pavel Tatsulin,
yep,
talking about the three main kind of areas that can kind of, when you need to build strength in, mm-hmm, the grip, the core, and the glutes. Talking about that, and that's another aspect of stick mobility is the hanging aspect, like the building of the grip strength.
Yes.
Now, why is that so important to building overall strength or overall mobility?
Well, because the arm line is very important in accessing the core. That hand-to-core connection is important, along with the foot-to-core connection. So the hands and the feet are the conduits to really accessing that deep front line and the posterior line and really accessing what we all consider the core, right? So brachiating or monkey-like movements, hanging, is Well, it's innately it's a very human thing. Mm-hmm. Parents can recognize, identify with this because they're usually always yelling at their kids to get down off of stuff. Stop climbing on that. Get down off of there. When you watch children develop, they pull themselves up into a standing position a lot of times, right? They're using a table or a chair to help pull themselves up. So climbing in and of itself is a very, and hanging should be a very innate thing for humans. A lot of it just was a survival thing. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's really missing in a lot of people's training protocols. Everybody's all about pressing. Or when they want to do hanging, they want to do straight pull-ups or kipping pull-ups. But sometimes we just got to understand, do you understand the feedback and what it feels like just to hang for 20, 30 seconds?
Yeah. And there's another, obviously I've been a big fan of that because I've heard, people talk about just hanging from a pull-up bar, how beneficial that could be to shoulder mobility, because I'm sure you run into a lot of people talk about they have trouble going overhead. And I mean, that's another aspect I think that stick mobility aids to is the scapular control. Because that's something that you said, and we've learned it here this weekend, is that people like try to control your shoulder blade or your scapula, then you start recruiting other things to try to bend it.
Right.
Like you turn your lower back into your scapula or your wrist into your scapula. Is that just like I said, most people, it's just a lack of use over the years?
Yeah, oh, very much so. The body adapts to the body's adaptation skills are fantastic. And people talk about the body adapts to the stimuluses that we give it, but it also adapts to the stimuluses that we don't give it. And that's a big thing that people don't look at. So is when the majority of the workforce today is sedentary and sitting down in front of a computer, that's a stimulus that is lacking. Movement is the lacking stimulus. So people that when you're using a mouse, your scapula is just glued to your rib cage. So the tissues just get used to being locked in there. And then when you're asking these tissues to all of a sudden start to move around, they just don't identify with it. You don't know how to access them, and they just don't have the neuromuscular control to go through that range of motion. So when we go to talk about doing pull-ups, they don't even understand the prerequisites, right? So we don't understand how to access the lats or control the scapula. The protraction, retraction, elevation, depression of that scapula, and then yet we expect to want to learn how to do a pull-up and do it relatively safely. Mm-hmm. So once again, it's meeting the prerequisites, something that you'll hear Dr. Spina talk about in functional range conditioning. So it's in essence, we would never take, it'd be illogical to take a 5-year-old child and put that child in a 12th grade calculus class. If you said that to most people, they would be like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
But from a movement standpoint, we're doing the same thing across the industry. We're asking a bunch of 5-year-olds, as far as movement capabilities, to do 12th grade stuff.
Right. And I think that's brings up another aspect and that you've mentioned this weekend, is that there's no bad movement, there's just unprepared movement. So that's the thing, and I see it a lot of times on, obviously with the personal training certification, they talk about proper squat form or proper lunge form. And then you were talking about how, obviously it's much more than that. People are more unprepared for the movement than they have to have their knees over their toes or their toes pointing straight forward or things like that. So I'd love to kind of expand on that concept about no bad movements but unprepared movements.
If you have poor tissue quality, you're going to end up with poor movement results. So from the industry as a whole says, well, don't, your knees shouldn't go over your toe line. And then they say, okay, we want to save the knees for that. Well, in order to save the knees, you instruct people to put the pelvis in a bad position, put extra stress on the lumbar spine. So we tell people to compromise the back and decondition the back. So we say, okay, well, why don't we get better hip movement? Because if you're sitting on your butt all day, you don't understand what your hips are supposed to do, right? So we need to get better hip mobility and get better ankle mobility and understand how to use the foot-to-core connection better, foot-to-hip connection. And once you start to see that improve, kids deep squat, right? And I know that there's the battle in our industry of not everyone should deep squat. I got to be honest with you, out of 200 and some odd coaches, out of 200 coaches that we've certified, they do the Dunphy squat, and all of them get below parallel. Statistically speaking, from all the data that's been thrown out there, out of those 200-plus coaches, almost 30 of them shouldn't be able to physically do that.
Huh.
So then how come we've just defied all those clinical numbers, right? Mm-hmm. We've brought stability to everything that we need to have stable, and then they're dropping into the squat. They're at least getting to a slightly below parallel. It may not be a full deep squat, but these coaches are going through squats that into depths that they haven't been to in forever, right? And if we look at children across the board, you know, they call it an Asian deep squat. It's not an Asian squat. It's a human squat. It's what humans do. So we just stop being human.
Yeah.
We sit at a desk all day at some period. We start getting into school.
Mm-hmm.
We purposely limit our ranges of motion. So once again, the body adapts to the stimulus that you don't give it. So the body says, okay, you don't want this range of motion? We don't go there then. And the tissues adapt to that.
And I think that's a huge concept because, like you said, you were in that phase at one point where you call it the meathead, but, you know, always backloading people for back squats to try to build that strength. But now you're building strength in bad ranges of motions or bad, you know, in bad areas, and then, you know, it leads to injury. So then they're not, like you said, now they're not doing anything. So instead of starting them in the proper range of motions, you're putting a roadblock into their training with just trying to lead them through items just because you want to add more weight to them. You know, more weight, more weight, more weight. That's something you were hitting on this weekend also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's something, the aspect of stick mobility training is that it's for everyone. I've always told people that because everyone from, you know, senior citizens to office workers, but also to pro athletes, can use stick mobility training. What type of, who have you guys been working with as far as the pro athlete team so far?
The Cincinnati Bengals use our stuff. Right now we have the LA Dodgers, the Anaheim Angels. We've met with the Atlanta Braves. We worked with them for a little bit. And also the Philadelphia 76ers, Coach Wright over there ordered a bunch of sticks. He's been using them with his players. We also have in the LA Kings use our stuff and the Anaheim Ducks. So most of the LA teams, college-wise, the USC Trojans have been fantastic.
Right.
They've been using our their Dr. Myers has been one of our biggest advocates. He was in our first certification class. It was very intimidating, to be honest with you. When we looked at the roster and all of a sudden I'm like, holy crap, this is Dr. Meyer, Associate Athletic Director, USC. He's a doctor of physical therapy. Yeah, that's pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
So at the end of the weekend, he let us know. He said, hey, I love it. He goes, I'm going to keep you guys busy. And he has. He's introduced stick mobility to a ton of people. We're very thankful for that. And he's actually hosting a private workshop, a private certification in LA later this month.
Nice.
So we'll be down there teaching that.
And the aspect of that, it works for, you know, pro athletes and all the way up to senior citizens, is another kind of defining principle of stick mobility is that it's both, you know, it can progress and regress. All motions have the progression and regression built into them. So, it's one of the many reasons I love it. And I was just curious, you guys have any, you're always kind of, it always looks like, according to you guys, check out their Instagrams at Stick Mobility. It always looks like you guys are developing, like, kind of curriculum or movements, essentially. Is it kind of, it almost seems like it's a never-ending source of, you know, you can basically do what you want with it.
Exactly. We have our safety standards. We have our safety protocols that we enforce to all the coaches that take our course. This is the do's and the don'ts. But outside of that, we have coaches from pretty much every facet of the fitness industry and the healthcare industry. So we have doctors of physical therapy, we have chiropractors, we have massage therapists, we have yoga instructors, we have bodybuilders, kettlebell specialists, so body weight specialists. So each one of them views movement from a slightly different perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect, and that's what we want, because we want them to understand how to apply the stick and the principles into how they view movement. So we don't want to be very limited in our perspective of how we move. We live in a world of 360 degrees. Movement needs to be as expansive as we can possibly have it, with the right amount of control, for sure.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to give you a little bit of time here at the end to kind of tell people how they can get a hold of you and find out more about stick mobility, and hopefully maybe even register for a class coming to them here.
Oh, perfect. Check out our site. It's stickmobility.com. Like Nick said just a little while ago, you can follow us on Instagram at stickmobility. We're on Facebook at stickmobility. You can email us either at info@stickmobility, or you can mail myself, Dennis@stickmobility, D-E-N-N-I-S. And then reach out and let us know. You can check out our site for video content. We have a membership library on there that you can join. And we also have our course schedule on there as far as where we're going to be for you to sign up. And feel free to check it out. And we hope to see you guys soon.
Yes. Now, one more thing before we leave. I've kind of asked people when I interview them this. If you had one piece of kind of health and fitness advice to give to the listeners, what would it be?
For me, I think your training goals should be to stay physically relevant. I don't think people have long-term enough viewpoint on their overall health. We enter the fitness industry, people work out because they want to grow old gracefully. They want to stay strong as they grow old. But then you look at their training protocols and they're doing the complete opposite. So I think when you train, you need to keep that in mind. How am I training, and how is this going to keep me physically relevant so that if I'm 30, when I'm 30 now, I want to be able to do the same things when I'm 70. I don't want to be in that wheelchair. I don't want to be using that cane. I want to be able to have people call up and say, hey, we're going here, we're going to do this and do that, and be like, okay, let's go, let's do this.
Wow, that's a great piece of advice. I'm glad we went out on that. Once again, guys, follow them on Instagram, Stick Mobility, and then also check out their website, stickmobility.com. Dennis, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, guys. That's our interview with Dennis Dunphy, the founder of one of the founders of Stick Mobility. And as you heard in the interview, gave my lovely Shannon a shout out because she mentioned that in one of our previous conversations about Stick Mobility, how she thought it, you know, she could see a lot of parallels and a lot of similarities with yoga.
Yeah, and lot of the poses seem to be, and I've taken a stick yoga class.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, how funny is it?
Yeah, that's how it all started. That was super cool to hear. And I was like, wow, it's very, obviously I knew you're very intuitive, but.
Well, I feel like it's just another example of like, I think this stick mobility and stick classes and these are very similar to yoga in the sense that you don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be a trained athlete to be doing these. In fact, they're there to meet you wherever you are. Like, mm-hmm. In that sense, I feel they're so similar that anyone with, you know, pretty much any fitness level could walk in to a yoga or a stick class and be like, yeah, I got this.
Yep, and that's one of the things they talk
about.
Which
is amazing.
One of the principles, well, not their principles, but one of the kind of statements they have about yoga is that, or yoga, now you got me thinking yoga, stick mobility is that it's self-regulating and self-limiting. Mm-hmm. So it has massive amounts of progressions, mm-hmm. that the most skilled person can do, and then it also has a ton of regressions or modifications that somebody that has maybe not as great, you know, range of motion or mobility, mm-hmm. or has some physical limitations can do.
Yeah.
So that's why, we kind of alluded to, it's, you know, it's, sure, it's just it's a stick, it's a pliable stick, but it's the fact that it's a lever to help you get your different variety, all your joints into greater ranges of motion, and then create strength in those ranges of motion.
Never underestimate a stick or a long object in terms of fitness, because think about gymnastics, balance beam, uneven bars.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what those people, the vault, look at what those people do with a little bit of leverage that those things provide.
Right.
Because that's all it is. They're using this one extra thing, which is a straight-lined object, mm-hmm. to do amazing movements with their body.
Yeah. And then the thing when they talk about the definition of mobility that they used and we talked about in the interview with Dennis. Yes. Is it's not just flexibility. It's, you know,
so
it's
important.
It's joint range of motion plus joint stability plus neuromuscular control. That's what how they define mobility. Mm-hmm. And it's that last thing that's really kind of, I think, the real key is thinking about the mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
And using your mind to create levels of tension, and as we found out in the interview, irradiation, that I think that's the thing that people miss out on exercise. They think faster is better. Faster is better.
Or it's like, oh, I'm going to go light today. I'm going to take it easy. And they think that that is not something that can help them. They think, like, it has to be all or none.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, too, I think people don't... They almost get into autopilot when they exercise at some times.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Especially if they're exercising by themselves. Not that there's not trained, skilled people who can train themselves out there, but there's a lot of people, I think a large amount of people, especially who get...
People just don't have time. I mean, ain't got time for that. It's a hashtag for a reason. Like,
yeah, but I mean, people who get the memberships to the gym, they say, hey, I'll go, you know, get on the bike and then go.
Yeah, they go do the four machines that they like, and then they go hit the mat and do some abs, and then they're done.
Yeah, but even, and the thing is, though, you would get so much more out of if you focused on those four machines, you focused on the actual movement you were doing. Yeah. What muscles you're using,
and
what
you
joints
you're
using.
And you tried to vary that.
Yeah. Well, not even that, but even, you know, we talked about how big isometrics are.
Yeah.
Maybe contracting your muscles during a certain time of that exercise or for a certain period of time. So it's that's the thing. It's all the theories and the knowledge and the science behind the stick mobility training, which really piqued my interest and really made me you fall even more in love with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I know some other people, obviously, within our friend circle and everything that are trained in different modalities and different, you know, like aerobics and things like that. And I've really not heard like a kind of, this was a 2-day training certification.
Yeah.
Anything that really gets into like the deep science that you did with this and that really... changed how you kind of thought about training because really like the fact that they're saying that no movement is necessarily like a bad movement and that there's so many movements we don't do anymore. You alluded to it in our kind of intro, that you guys really expanded on in the interview.
Right.
That's such an incredible and like, it's one of those like, duh, moments where you sit there and you just want to do like a Homer Simpson, like a dope, because we've missed out like basic things.
Yeah, no, and that's the key. And I loved that saying from Dennis about, I mean, you just said it, you know, just there's no bad movements, there's unprepared movements.
Right, and that's so, what leads to injury and, you know, deterioration of muscles and...
Right, and these sticks are so great at preparing you for all those different movements. Like, there's a lot of stuff I'm using now with clients with priming them with stick movements before doing, say, a bench press or a squat or a pull-up. We prime them using the sticks, and then we get them on that apparatus, whatever it be, or that exercise, and then they rep it out. And then they can feel their muscles are already engaged, but also their mind is already engaged. They're already in... that exercise mode for that specific exercise. So
that's
it's so
how
awesome.
A yoga class is sequenced too.
Oh,
see?
Really?
Yeah, it is. Every yoga class, any like decent yoga class, and I'm sorry that I continuously reference this, but this is where I come from, my understanding. And honestly, like a good yoga class, the whole sequences before are meant to get you ready. So like in a more advanced yoga class where they do handstands or headstands, those are advanced poses, and everything that you're doing is really meant to get you to those advanced poses.
Nice.
You're never supposed to just jump into an advanced pose.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, again, going back to the stick mobility, that's one of the beautiful things to it, because exactly what you're saying, doing, you know, a range of those can lead you to more advanced things.
Mm-hmm. No. And it's so exciting to have all this new knowledge now, and I'm actually going to be teaching my first stick class after the certification course this coming Saturday. So
preparing for a world change.
Yes,
huh?
I'm so excited. And you guys, actually, you know what I'll do, because we Facebook Live the last one for Tampa Strength. I'm sure we'll do it again this week, and I'll go ahead and post it to the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys can check out the class. Yeah. So I'll share it there, and you guys can check out the class and get a little bit more insight to stick mobility. So you guys, make sure you give us a like and follow on Facebook at the... No, just
Addicted to Fitness podcast.
That's it. Thank you. I knew you would help me out with that. So another interesting thing and exciting thing is I'm sure I'm going to pursue the affiliate program that Stick Mobility offers. They talked about it. Dennis talked a little bit at the end of our interview. So there's very distinct possibility that Addicted to Fitness podcast might be, you guys will hear it maybe more about Stick Mobility, kind of promoting them. And once I become a part of their affiliate program, I'm having really kind of preliminary ideas to start doing online training with Sticks.
Yeah.
So that's a way you can train with me and not be here, you know, not be in the Tampa Bay area. So through online videos and building new online programs. So that's just something that I'm so excited about that I would love to get a part of. And Stick Mobility.
It's just so unique. Yes. I don't think there's a lot of people doing this, especially in our area. It would be interesting. I mean, how many people do you think were in your class?
8. And
holy crap,
and there was only 3 or 4 from Tampa. Yeah.
I totally see this being like a really popular thing. It just needs some champions to really tout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm excited to be one of those champions.
Be the champion, honey.
All right,
you're
guys.
You're my champion.
If you like this episode, please let us know in the iTunes store or on your Apple Podcast app. Give us a rating and review. Let us know what we need to work on and what we're doing great. We love that, okay?
Please and thank you.
Yes, and also hit that share button so you can send this to a friend.
Yeah.
Because we want to grow our audience, and I'm sure, and well, I know we need your help to do that.
Yes, and I mean... Yeah, just sharing is caring, so we'll always say that.
All right, you got anything else for him?
Nothing.
All right, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.